This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Chevron here live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Glad you guys could be with us here. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you guys want to get at us today, anything on your mind? You know, we're on to the bye week now for the Broncos, so things are going to slow down just a little bit there. And what I'm paying attention to right now is what Washington's going to do with Jaden Daniels. I'm reading a bunch of mixed reports. I saw Jeremy Fowler on his story on ESPN debating as to whether or not it would be a good idea for Washington to play Jaden Daniels. You're 3-8. Probably not going to make the playoffs. He's young. You know, there's not a ton to play for. Yeah, you could go on a massive run. Part of that massive run would be to have to get through this Broncos team. And I don't think anybody, like right now, I think Denver looks like the scariest team as we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. Denver has six games remaining. So that's one I'm paying attention to right now. And obviously, yeah, you got the Nuggets going tonight against the Pelicans. That should be a win. Bounce back game for Denver. But Michael, let's do this real quick. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. I was watching just a little bit of the podcast or interview cast, whatever you call it, between Peter Schrager, NFL stud covering the NFL. He was talking to Vance Joseph, and Vance was going off about Nick Benito, and something that you want to pay attention to is how unselfish Benito is. They're asking him, especially when they're going up against quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, to do what is called a cage rush. It's when the defensive pass rushing strategy is you maintain your lane. So even though you could beat your guy inside, outside, whatever, and get to the quarterback, they're asking their edge rushers to maintain the lane, stay on the outside, unless it's so damn obvious that you can get there. But they don't want to get so close into that quarterback where Patrick Mahomes just rolls out. It's like New York Jets Tim Tebow style when the Jets blitzed everybody on Tebow and he ran in for that touchdown years ago, and the Broncos win, part of their run to win the AFC West that year. And that is something that is really, really cool, and it speaks a lot to who Nick Benito is, because as Vance Joseph pointed out in the podcast, he could win his one-on-one battles damn near every time, no matter who that tackle is he's going up against. But to keep the integrity of that pass rush, to keep the integrity of, you know, their containment, they're asking one of the best pass rushers in the league to essentially not get after the quarterback every time. And that's fascinating. I thought that was very good. Bad was nothing was really on last night locally. So that was kind of a bummer. I know the big one is the ugly. Here's the ugly. I thought Patrick Waugh, I just got a chance to watch the replay of this. Derbs and Tanner were talking about it earlier this morning. Mikko Rantanen just drills Islanders defenseman Alex Romanov into the boards late in this game, empty net, and it was ugly. And Patrick Waugh, I thought he was going to, just from the clips I'm seeing, I thought he was going to lay into Mikko. He was going to get after him. It was pretty bad, man. Rantanen was leaving the game after the hit. Mike's picked up Patrick Waugh yelling at him. Waugh appeared to say, "You're not going to effing finish that game." I, I don't know what that was like necessarily referenced to, but Waugh said after the game, Rantanen's hit was disrespectful to his team. He said, I hope he's going to be okay at this moment, talking about his guy. I don't know exactly what it is, but all I'm going to say is that when you see the number, you have to lay off. Everybody knows that, just like Pixar on Friday. He goes, he didn't add that part, unfortunately. He said, you don't go through the guy. I was in Colorado when Rantanen was drafted there. It's not his style, but at the same time, that should not be part of our game. So that was I don't know if you saw that, Michael, but that was pretty bad. I mean, that's the stuff that could break a dude's neck. He's like a foot away from the boards, and you go up behind him, like Waugh saying, you see his numbers, and he just slams into him, knocks him up against the boards, and that looked pretty damn dangerous. It was a crazy final minute in that game, too, because Rantanen was ejected from the game. But a wild one, certainly. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Brady, if Shador should win this weekend, is he eligible for jersey retirement? Yeah, that's going to be part of the top story. Shador Sanders is going to get his first start for the Cleveland Browns this weekend. He did not look good in that game against Baltimore, but I'm not one of those guys that's going to do sky is falling, or if he would have been good, I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, oh, yeah, that's him. But he didn't look good. Now we're going to get a chance to see what Cleveland has. And, dude, the fact that Cleveland, like, their defense is really good. They're one of the top defenses in all those major stat categories we're talking about, and they're so bad. That's just part of this bad organization. I mean, they're not giving up a ton of points on a weekly basis. They contained Lamar Jackson, and it's a pretty potent offense, even though Lamar's trying to get back into the mix with Baltimore. And now Cleveland goes to Las Vegas this weekend for Shador's first shot. Try to get this thing. Now, the Raiders were in the mix to maybe draft Shador Sanders, but obviously that never happened. If he's bad, what does that mean for the future of the guy? Again, it's you got two rookie quarterbacks and one that's kind of on the concussion protocol or is on the concussion protocol. I don't know what it means if he's bad. Cleveland's bad. Joe Flacco left Cleveland and started putting up big numbers when he went to Cincinnati. So I'm going to try not to be too critical of the guy because this is kind of where quarterbacks go to die. Baker Mayfield's playing at an MVP level. He was up and down with Cleveland, and I think that's a testament to how good Baker was. The fact that they weren't really building around him is astonishing. But yeah, will they retire his number? That continues to be just a really weird look for Coach Prime and everything. And speaking of Coach Prime, he was kind of pleading to the Buffs Nation yesterday, saying, hey, no, I am the guy. Now, I'm just going to need a little more time. We're going to figure this out. I am the guy, and I like it. I think Deion is the guy. It was a bad year. I didn't think it'd be this bad. But it was, you know, they got, what, two games left? Don't really care what happens at this point. You think you have your quarterback of the future. I'll be curious to see how they build around him in the offseason. Mike, don't you just kind of get this feeling? I was doing the Football 52 podcast this morning with Ed Lamb. They got one more game left. They got Portland State. That's a big game. It's a big game for the Bears because they have a chance to win their fourth game. That'd be the most wins they've had in almost over a decade. So it's a big game. But I did ask Coach, like, when you get to this point in the season, and this is for anybody, Buffs, Rams, whatever. I'm not one of the guys that say, oh, they quit. They're quit. I'm the opposite. I think guys start to press so much when they're out of all their goals. You know, you're not going to be a bowl team. You're not going to your conference championship, or in the Bears' case, you're not playing for playoffs. Do you get guys that instead of quitting, they almost mentally abandon the game plan, where now they're reaching for everything? They're trying to get theirs. In a positive way, they're trying to get theirs so that their team can be successful. But they get out of. We're talking about Nick Benito. The game plan was for him to keep that edge, to keep that containment, and not necessarily get through and get to Patrick Mahomes, because they kind of want you to do that in Kansas City. They want Mahomes to be able to roll outside of that pocket and do his work. To have that, and then you equate that, or you compare that to what you see in college, asking young dudes to continue to just do their part and not play outside of themselves and go after the sack. That's what we're talking about when we say guys are trying to do too much. Nick Benito could get to Patrick Mahomes almost every time. It felt like he was held a lot in that game, but man, he was getting that first step he has is phenomenal. So you know he can get there, but being able to stay with the game plan helps everybody else out. It helps people in coverage. It helps you keep those lanes so Mahomes can't step up in any certain direction or step out in any certain direction and gain. I asked Ed about that kind of specifically on the podcast, and he's like, yeah, that's a big problem. Every time you get to the last two or three games of the season and there's not as much to play for anymore, that's a big worry. But he put it on himself. He put that on the coaching staff. But make no mistake about it, we always do this kind of, the last couple of weeks we've looked at it, like who's feeling pressure this weekend. Bottom line is all the teams in the area have failed to meet their goals. Wyoming, I guess, could get into a bowl game if they win out. They got two games left. They could get to six. But I do think it's UNC, because it may not mean a lot if you're just on the outside looking in and you look at four wins and you go, wow, you're happy about four wins. When you look at the history of UNC since joining Division I FCS football, there just hasn't been much to cheer about. Aside from two seasons in what, 20 years? Think about that. Two seasons in 20 years, they had a winning record. And they were back-to-back. Ernest Collins Jr. got the 6-win seasons. There hasn't been much reason to be optimistic about the Bears. And outside looking in, you'd see four wins, and you would say, well, that's not giving me a lot. But Ed went from 0 wins to 1 win to they're at 3 right now, so the trajectory is still positive. That's what I'm looking at. They're going to have some big, not decisions, but some big asks this offseason. There's four guys that come to the top of my mind that the Bears are probably going to lose. And that's Carver Cheeks, that's Braden Monroe, that's Cam Chapa, and that might be Eric Gibson Jr. It did sound like, now Coach told us on the podcast, for those following the Bears, it's Eric Gibson's job this weekend. They're not going to do the dual quarterback thing anymore. They flat out said, you know what, we're not messing with that. We're just going to name a starter and let him go. And so I asked a follow-up. I said, is this a mini audition for Eric Gibson Jr. for next season? And he said, yeah, mini audition is a great word for it. Because they have a lot of young guys on this roster that are going to be competing. And if they do end up going with Gibson Jr., that alters how they're going to design their game plan going forward. Because Castelli's a running quarterback. Gibson's more of a pocket guy. That will change how they do this. And then if Gibson is the guy, then you wonder about Peter Castelli's future with UNC. Does he enter that portal? And Gibson, it's not 100% that he has a year left of eligibility. Kind of a weird story on that, Mike. So he started his career with LSU. And they basically told him, you have a spot, enroll, come to school, you know, you got a spot on the roster, and then suddenly there wasn't a spot, but he was technically on the team. So it's a gray area as to whether or not he was a college football player that year. And LSU apparently is working with UNC and trying to make that right, and admitting that, yeah, we probably had a coach or two that led him to believe that there was going to be a spot on this team, and then he comes in. It's a really bizarre story. Go listen to Football 52 and Coach Lamb talk about that, because it's fascinating. I love these podcasts, man. Michael's going to play back my chat with Steve Smiley yesterday, because I can't do it justice. The win against Pepperdine was huge for UNC. That's a good basketball team. But the extracurricular stuff that was happening due to the weather made that game almost not possible. You know, we're talking about not being able to get to the arena. The locker rooms are flooding. And Smiley kind of paints this picture for us. So we're going to play that back at the bottom of the hour for you guys. It's really interesting. That kind of gives you a sample of what we're doing in these podcasts. It's not necessarily just X's and O's. These coaches are sitting down talking to us about things that there's no way even a random beat writer is going to discover, because they open up in these conversations. So I really appreciate Steve going there with me on that. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. And then you brought a story I want to get to today. You brought up Jahdae Barron and how you think he's going to be a stud. According to Luca Evans of the Denver Post, he said that what he could see in evaluating this game in direct matchups between Jahdae Barron and Travis Kelce, there was six direct matchups, which means that he was one-on-one with Travis Kelce. One-on-one. Nobody's bailing you out. We're not bracketing him. It's you versus him. He had two catches on three targets for 14 yards, and one of those, Jahdae steps in front, knocks the ball down, gets up, talks a little junk. Travis Kelce. Can you imagine with Jahdae Barron coming on like this and his ability to maybe cover tight ends? Because I don't care what you say about Travis Kelce. He may not be playing at like super duper Hall of Fame Travis Kelce level. He is still a major threat in the NFL, still a top tight end in this league.
And he's still the type of guy that always hurts the Broncos.
Always. Those guys, those big dudes that can sit down in a zone, just find a spot. Those are tough, and it's hard to go one-on-one. So you're definitely playing zone defense against him. It's hard to go one-on-one. But the fact that in six matchups, one-on-one direct matchups, Kelce had two catches on three targets for 14 yards is phenomenal. So can you imagine if when Patrick Surtain gets back, which we believe he will be back for the Washington game, right?
Yes.
All belief is that he's going to be back for the Washington game. So now you have Surtain, you have Riley Moss, who, again, scream it to the top of the roof. He is not bad. That is a good cornerback that's being targeted a lot, and now he's getting a bad reputation, and referees are watching him almost every single play closer than they watch any other corner in the league.
I was watching a podcast with Aqib Talib on it. Aqib Talib,
Who would know better, right?
Yeah. He's all about Riley Moss. Loves Riley Moss. And this is Aqib Talib.
One of the better corners. I mean, one of the top corners, certainly in Denver Broncos history. But I saw that. I think I saw the same one where he's talking about, dude, he turns his head perfectly every time. Not a lot of corners can do that. Even the best, they have a hard time when they're in that mode, timing out when the ball is getting close, because you have to turn that head. If you can time it out perfectly, you're not going to get those calls. Well, Riley Moss seems to be doing that. But he's still getting the calls. He's still getting pass interference calls. So, yeah, I think I watched that same thing. And who better to talk about it than Aqib freaking Talib?
Yeah, and like we've said before, it's almost pass interference calls by reputation. He has the reputation of making pass interference, of you know, playing a little, I don't want to say dirty, but, you know, committing penalties. So they're going to look for penalties. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just wrong.
Think about when Aqib Talib played for Denver. Who did he have on the other side? Chris Harris Jr. Which one of those would you say was the better of the two? 50-50?
Was there one?
There wasn't. And that's why their jobs were easier, because that was pick your poison. That was not, we're going to target Harris or we're going to target Aqib. They had Bradley Roby in that no-fly zone, too, who was pretty good. It was kind of like the Jahdae Barron.
When he went to another team, that's when his career started to fail. But in this against the slot receiver, he was
it was very good. And that's the hope that the Broncos are going to try to achieve, right? Is to try to have Patrick Surtain, Riley Moss, and Jahdae Barron, and that's why they drafted him, because they want to get something like that they had in 2015.
This defense has the potential to be the, and I know I'm wearing my orange and blue again, but this has
always
the potential to be so much greater than the no-fly zone.
Yeah.
In today's passing NFL, and yes, it's going back to the run, but you look at how physical the front four is and you look how talented the backfield is, this has the potential to be better.
This is why, and again, they're not getting a lot of turnovers, Mike, but they've also sacked the quarterback 49 times. Denver's defense in 2015, they were getting much more turnovers, but they only sacked the quarterback 52 times total. Denver's at 49 right now. That's part of it. They're getting to the quarterback before he can make a bad decision. They're not just hitting the quarterback. They are getting home. That, I mean, some of these sacks that Denver's, that McMillan, blank it out.
Jaquan
McMillan, yeah. That sack he had at the end of the to essentially end Kansas City's offensive hopes,
You should get in the Pro Bowl just for that play.
And the interception he made was critical. But that sack was huge because what he did was jumped in the air slightly. Like, he didn't really leave his feet. He blocked off Patrick's vision and then came down on him. If he goes straight up and jumps high to try to block a pass, who knows? Mahomes might wiggle out of that. But he played it, you know, it's just like in basketball. You don't leave your feet. That's exactly what he did. That was a huge play. So this is a disciplined team. They're not reaching for those sacks. They're getting home, and there's just a lot of discipline. And it starts with Nick Benito. 23 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. Peter Schrager interviewed Vance Joseph. We'll talk about that conversation a little bit. But a question I have is, well, not even a question. This is kind of like the Joker territory here. Enjoy it while you have it, because I have to imagine Vance Joseph, his name is coming up as being a head coach somewhere. And it's a good problem to have, but man, he has been elite pretty much since that Miami Dolphins game. Things have just gotten better and better for Vance Joseph as the DC for the Broncos. Phenomenal story. Swallowing pride type story that turns out to produce one of the top defenses, maybe one of the best defenses we've ever seen. It's a whole show. We'll be right back.
For nuggets, games, and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder. We got to mix like lightning and thunder into this Broncos defense, a nickname for it. We still haven't come up with a real nickname for the Denver defense yet, have we?
They should call it Lightning because we do have Thunder, the mascot.
Lightning before the Thunder, maybe something like that. That would be cool. There's a play. And again, I'm really liking Luca Evans, his stuff from the Denver Post, man. He's the guy that Sean Payton called out, and then he called him Evan. And he corrects him at the end. He's like, my name is Luca, by the way. And Sean's like, great, great. I like this. Dude, get me Luca Evans on the show, Mike. That's your job now. Drop everything. Get him on. That second and 10 play on the Chiefs' final drive, so that was before the big sack. This was the play where Dre Greenlaw, Justin Sternad, and Talanoa Hufanga were calling out the play before it happened. I'm watching it right now as it's going. Patrick Mahomes lines up in the shotgun formation. He's got a running back to his right. You see Dre Greenlaw communicating. Hufanga comes up to the line of scrimmage, starts talking to his cornerback behind him. They're calling out everything that's getting ready to happen. They force Mahomes to roll out of the pocket early and go to his right. There's nobody available for Mahomes to throw to. And they know, they're looking at Rashee Rice. They know where he's going. They're watching him motion. They knew he was going to go in motion before he went in motion. And the Broncos just swallowed it up, man. This is a smart team, an unselfish team. And that is why you're seeing, maybe you're not seeing the turnovers, but you are seeing these essential stops and this excellent communication by this defense and just being unselfish and not trying to get theirs. Instead, playing as a complete team. It's actually really fun when you dive into this entire game and just go back and watch some of the communication, what we're able to see, some of the communication between the Broncos on this defensive side.
And it's culture. Like Aqib Talib was saying in that podcast, why he still wears Broncos stuff. He loved the culture, and I think this is the same thing. The Broncos just have that culture.
Well, like, who was the DC in 2015? You know, Wade Phillips, right?
Yeah, and Wade Phillips, not a great head coach.
No.
But boy, every team he went to where he was the defensive coordinator, boy, did they have a ferocious defense.
He had, and they had such a type of defense where they were so good individually that they didn't have to call a lot. They didn't have to scheme a lot. There wasn't a lot of that going on. They were really good. He trusted his players. There's definitely some scheming going on with Vance Joseph's defense, but being able to trust these star players to play like that is absolutely huge. So just another note there, and listening to Vance Joseph talk to Peter Schrager, I think Peter put out the tweet like, hey, I want a defensive coordinator to talk about their player like they talk about Nick Bonito. And just how unselfish that guy is. Dude, Bonito's going to go down. Now that they got him all locked up, he's going to go down as one of the Broncos' greats. I'm calling it right now. Maybe that's an obvious one. But he's going to go down as one of Denver's greats, especially if they can do something crazy this season.
I hope he goes down as greater than Von Miller. Because Von Miller, I don't know if he's on the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Fame, but the Mount Rushmore anymore.
The Broncos have Mount Rushmore?
Well, if you see how his career went downhill after
he signed the contract.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as he got that contract, the contract curse hit.
Well, and Bonito, guys, we forget that Von signed that contract. That was, like, he was early in his career, right? That was his big contract. That was after his rookie contract, correct?
I believe so.
And Benito's on that now, and the dude seems to be getting better. And
even though he hasn't had a lot of sacks the last few games, guess what? They're giving him extra attention.
He's already like 4 sacks away from his career high. He had 13.5 last year. He's at 9.5 right now. But what we're not seeing is, yeah, it's easy to just go to, oh, well, he doesn't have the same numbers that he had. Vaughn, it was easy to do that with. But Bonito just, dude, as Vance was saying, he can win those matchups almost every time. But they're asking him to do more for the betterment of the team. Yeah, he could beat his tackle every time, almost every time, and get back there. But the problem with that sometimes, especially if you have a Patrick Mahomes, a Josh Allen type quarterback that can see that coming, know they're going to have to step up. They either step up into the pocket quicker than they were ready to, hitting a quick slant or whatever, or they can take off. Keeping those lanes and the integrity of that is essential. So however we want to slice it, when we look at the final sack number, which I do believe he's going to get to at least 15 and beat his season total from a year ago and his career high, but it's all the other things that he does that are not actually in the box score that we're seeing every week.
And I think you have a guy right now who cares more about a ring than he does about his stats.
Yeah, listen to him.
He probably could have negotiated for more money, but I think he sees a future in Denver, and I think he sees maybe with this defense, if they can hold on to what they can hold on to, dynasty.
This front four for Denver, you know, is just not just the front four, but when you mix in Bonito being an outside linebacker, this 3-4 defense, but the front three guys, Zach Allen and DJ Jones and John Franklin Myers, Cooper, and then Bonito. I mean, it is everybody on this defense is so good, but that defensive line is ridiculous. 35 minutes after the hour. All right, two-man game podcast was excellent yesterday. This is going to take you into a world. I mean, you look at a box score, you watch that game against between UNC and Pepperdine, you see that the Bears win in overtime. They survived. They were on paper the better team. They were supposed to win that game, but it was going to be a tight one. And all the elements that they had to get through just to win that game, it's fascinating stuff. Coach Smiley opened up about that on the podcast. We're going to play that back coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back into the show. The Bears win over Pepperdine over the weekend, and they beat them in overtime. Now, they're rolling in the first half. Pepperdine kind of makes a little comeback there, made it very interesting. I thought the Bears, was it Danker had a crazy last second three? Well, not last second, but that felt like that was going to be the game. But Pepperdine answers, forces overtime. But the Bears go out and go up eight. They outscore Pepperdine 8-0 right off the bat in overtime. End up winning that game. But Coach Smiley was like, I'm not really going to. We'll go there on some of it. We'll talk about X's and O's. But he's talking about like the travel portion. And there was like flooding going on, bad rain, no sun there where they were in Malibu. Malibu, no sun. Yeah, absolutely cold, rainy, miserable, flooding everywhere. Here's Coach Steve Smiley on the Two Man Game podcast. You can find this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfk.com. Coach Smiley going into how this game almost didn't happen, or at least at the time they were supposed to. It's a money game for the Bears, too. So it's very important that they play this game. Here's a little bit from that podcast yesterday.
First one is, how about a government shutdown? Denver's got one of 40 airports that has affected 10% flights. So the first thing we're thinking is, okay, about a week ago, this is our first flight. What if our flight gets canceled? Because flights are getting canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we going to do? So we're talking about that. And we don't charter. Like, we don't have that $80,000 a charter trip. So that's just not what it is. So we're talking to administration, the business office, like, what if we get canceled? What do we do? And we got to the realization, like, okay, even if they cancel our flight from Denver to Burbank, it's Southwest, there's at least Burbank, LAX, Long Beach, right? There's enough airports that they, Irvine, that even if they were just shooting us all over the place, we're still probably get there, right? It's like, okay, let's just roll the dice. So we got out there, no issues. The second issue is not Pepperdine's fault, but they had a volleyball game that day. No practice day of game. We knew that going into it. So, and that's not typical. Usually you practice the night before, you get to practice the day of the game, so you get two hits. So now it's like that night before, guys, when we get there, we're going a little bit longer, and we're going to do a little bit of the game-based stuff with the shooting. You got to get used to this shit, and we get one chance. So that's a little different. So then, hey, Malibu, it's 75 and sunny every day, right? No. Mm. The two worst days of weather they've had all year. It was a monsoon.
Wow.
It's a flood watch. So, all right, whatever, Smiley, flood watch, here's the deal. So we get there. We didn't see the sun for 2.5 days. My wife's complaining about how nice it is out here. She's like, it's too hot. I want it to be cold. Thanksgiving. I was like, I would die for the sun right now. I never saw the sun for 3 days. Mental health issues, depressed, right? So yeah. Anyways, we get out there and we get to practice, but their ops coach called Coach Colin Goss. Our ops coach said, hey, here's the deal. We're under a flood watch. If it floods, they will shut down your road. So we're like at the top of the hill. In Calabasas, kind of like Saguaro, Calabasas, something like that. Segura, I don't know. We're not by the gym. Like there's no hotel by Pepperdine University. This is the wealthiest place in the country, right? It's Malibu, man. And by the way, I never saw the ocean in 2 days too. So you're up about 20 minutes away, but you're inland 20 minutes. Okay. He said, if they shut this road down, they only shut it down to the charter bus. They won't shut it down to, like, you know, cars or vans, but like, you have a bus here, we got a bus. They'll shut it down. You have to drive an hour and a half around and hit the PCH to get to the gym. Just be aware of that. It won't hurt you on Friday, but it could hurt you on Saturday. So Colin, wise, he tells you, what do you want to do? You know, we're in this budget crisis, right? Everyone's seen it. You know, you got this deficit at UNC. Like, you can't just be wasting money. But I'm like, look. So I reach out to admin. I say, hey, here's the deal. We are going to get 4 rental vans. In addition to our bus, if the road closes, if it floods, so there's no flood for it, but it's pouring. We wake up Saturday, it's pouring. I said, Colin, what's the drop dead date on the rental cars? When does the rental car place close? 2:00. Game's at 6:00. So I said, all right, we got to make a decision by 1:00 if we're going to go. Well, how do you get the rental cars? So the bus guy, his name is Yuri. Yuri's going to have to drive 4 coaches to get the bus or to get the vans. For a backup. Well, 1:00 was the drop dead date. 1:30 is when we're going to walk through the scout in the hotel because there's no practice at Pepperdine. So we got the court taped up in the hotel. And then 2:00 is team meal. So 12:30, Colin says, all right, what do you want to do? Get the vans. It is pouring. I mean, I'm like, it just doesn't look good. The road hadn't shut yet, but it's flood watch, flood warning, all this different stuff. We can't risk loading up at 4:00. The road's closed. Now we got to go from getting down there at 4:30. We're going to get there at 5:30 for a 6:00 game. We're going to lose. Mm. So we have 4 vans. So every coach except myself and Coach Reed, because it was his scout, the Pepperdine scout, they load up with Yuri in the charter bus. Yuri drives them into Twin Oaks to the rental car place. We have 4 vans.
Yeah.
We get the four vans. Yuri drives back. His day's over. He's chilling. The vans come down. And the idea was, okay, we know we can get the vans down the mountain, right? Even if they close the road, you can get the vans through, so we got to do it. So now we walk through in the hotel. There's no practice there. Walk through. And this is like the maturity of the team. You can't do this with a young team. They'll be a mess. Man, coach, we didn't get to the gym. But it's Quinn, it's Zach, it's Brock, it's Will Humor. I know he didn't play. He is a massive leader for our team. Guys, you better approach us right. So we're in this like little room, and there's like these lights that are like right in the middle of our court. Guys are in there. It's just walking through with a fake ball, but we're dialing in. The play that we did in overtime to get Ian to look for the free throws, we introduced on a practice court in a hotel that was like the size of this room.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
So you go there. We walk into the gym. Hey, locker room's flooded. I'm not kidding. The locker room is flooded. So we're like, what do you mean? They're like, well, you know, so we got some, you know, makeshift chairs and this and that. And we're like, whatever, man. I'm an old school JUCO coach, man. Like, I don't need nice things. Cool, man. So they moved our guys to this main area, moved the coaches to like the stalls, like the shower stalls. So we're in the shower stalls. Like, hey, do you want that? Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. Put our bags there. Keeps flooding and flooding and flooding. So we're cool. Get ready for warm-ups. No issue. The room we're supposed to be in, it's literally flooded. So I got all these like vents and ACs. I'm in there about 50 minutes before the game. I'm not kidding, Brady. I know I'm going off the rails.
No, so no. This is good.
20 water polo dudes in Speedos walk right through our room to the. I'm like, what is going on? So I walk out. I'm like, I don't care. But I'm like, look, they're walking right through where we're going to meet to this other room, which is clearly their locker room. I said, Colin, we got a problem, man. These dudes, this is 3 minutes before guys come back in for our preparation talk. I'm like, I got all these polo dudes. I'm going to be in there getting riled up. We're going to be teaching, talking, whatever it is. We can't have these dudes in Speedos walking through it. He's like, no. So he grabs their adobo. The guy's like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, man, like these dudes. It's, oh, crap. So, yeah, they're in this other room. The guy goes, do not go back, go through the back doors. I told the back doors, we have guys in Speedos. So we get through. Halftime, we're up 10. Zach bangs a shot, 41-31. We start walking to our locker room. Our guys are going the other way. I'm like, what are these idiots doing? Because there's not that much time, right? Yeah. Like, we got to calibrate. They got to calibrate. Mm-hmm. They got to put a board up. And then we got to come in there. You got 20 minutes. You got like six. They're going the wrong way. I'm like, yo. And then someone's like, oh, no, the locker room flooded even more. You're out of there.
Oh, my God.
Like, what? So now it's like flooding in there. So now it's like to the point, okay, we better pick up our bags off the floor. So, like, I got, you know, phones in your bag.
Are you kidding me?
So they put us in their team film room.
So they're moving you around.
They moved us at halftime because we flooded even more.
Oh, my gosh.
So we go. So now I'm like, we probably didn't have a board up. But there was a board. So our guys wrote their little things up, the good and bad and stuff. And no one's panicking. We're up 10. We go through. I mean, it's such a zoo. Like, it wasn't like there's a crazy crowd. There's enough people there. Like, we're walking through student sections. It's just this. It's nuts.
This is insane.
We win the game. So, listen, we win the
no
game.
No idea this was going on if
no
you're just
knows.
Watching. There we go. Isn't that wild? That's absolutely wild. So, the end of that was essentially, like, we've got to like, battle through this situation. Otherwise, we're going to end up losing this game. But that's just a little bit. Coach Smiley goes there. We have tons of those travel stories because, and I love Smiley's attitude. He's like, dude, I'm a JUCO guy. It's my background. I don't need nice things. Tell us to pick our bags up. We got our cell phones in them. Pick it up. Put it on a bench somewhere. We're fine. The guys are told outside of Smiley and the coaching staff, the players suddenly right after the half, right when the halftime hits, hey, you're not in that old locker room anymore. So they start following this random person to a different locker room, and Coach Smiley's like, where the hell are you guys going? Go this way. No, man, that locker room is flooded. And when it was way too long to play here on the regular signal, but it was also Pepperdine's homecoming. So, like, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that game happens. They're not going to cancel this game. They're not going to reschedule this game. Pepperdine doesn't have a football team, so their homecoming is during basketball season. So you've got more people than maybe are normally there. And you have to get through all of this stuff. And they got water polo dudes walking through because they're trying to get to their locker room. For some reason, they're practicing in whatever time, and then they're going through their locker room to get to their locker room. And I told a coach, I was like, and the coaching staff, save for Steve Smiley and Houston Reed, they're driving the buses. They're driving the buses of these kids. It's like high school. I told him, I was like, dude, this sounds like high school. It sounds like something we would deal with in high school. It's like there's 100% that. Just a wild story, and it speaks a little bit more. If you're not a Bears fan, if you're not a Smiley fan, you should become one. Because if he would have freaked out, dude, there's this a former CSU football coach that lost his freaking mind because he had to go to the bathroom and the janitor had a sign up that said, wet floor, do not enter. The guy lost his freaking mind on the janitor. Like, what are you talking about? I'm the head coach. I got to go to the bathroom. Even though there's a bathroom like right down the hall, you can go to that one. He lost it. Coach Smiley, they got a basketball game to play, a money game to play. And Smiley's like, whatever, just tell me what we got to do, man. Just give me the drop-dead date or time that we can go get these rental vans. Oh, we can't use that locker room? Oh, we have to meet in a different spot? And when he says they draw up a court in the hotel, Michael, they're literally taking paint and creating a court on the hotel floor. It's because they can't go warm up because there was a volleyball game going on in that gym during the time that they would normally get to and play. So they had to tape up a makeshift basketball court to run their walkthrough. In a hotel room. It's not uncommon. You hear that sometimes. But just to add to everything they went through, it's phenomenal. Bears win, though. And this Coach Smiley basketball team is the real deal. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Go download that podcast for me. The two-man game. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 1310KFK.com. We'll be right back.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
That's the beauty of those podcasts, man. I'd love to take credit for it, but it's Coach Smiley coming in and just telling the stories, and it's fantastic, and I love them to have that platform, and we really appreciate them doing it every single week, and Ed Lamb too. It ain't easy coming in after losses, and he does it with a great attitude, and it's just one of the reasons, one of the many reasons I do think the Bears football team will continue to turn it around. Top stories of the day coming up, and then Cody Tucker from 7220sports.com will talk some Wyoming Cowboys. They can still get into a bowl game. Got to win the next two. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.